Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Is blood supposed to come out of there?
I got this potion here. Do you want it?
Healing potion enema.
Half a chicken, a sandwich.
A pudding still needs to set.
We're going to have to see when we get there.
I mean, this is just even bigger.
Oh, gross. Is this sap?
What part of it is immobile?
Here's a good berry. Let's move on.
And there's no escaping it.
Don't answer her. That will end Mari's arc.
You know, he survived. For better or for worse.
You know what, Jack? I fucking love you, man.
I love you too, Doran.
And I fucking love you, man. And he points to Red.
I love you too, Doran.
And I fucking love you, man. And he points to Mari.
You know, I just...
And I fucking love you, man. And he points up at the sky.
Mari just awkwardly... Message has been seen. Check mark.
Sorry, Doran. I'm leaving you on Red on this one.
Dice Shame. This is season 2, episode 46, A Cry for Help.
MVP this week is Hallow from the Discord, who's drawn some amazing fan art, even though they're only on episode 7. They are one of the first to nail the vibe of Red, so well done, Hallow. I'm excited to see more.
Extra Life 2023 is right around the corner. This year, we're going to be streaming for 24 hours on October 7th to raise money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. It's our 7th consecutive year participating in this extremely worthwhile charity event, but it's the first year we're doing an earlier stream date, so mark your calendars and get excited. More details coming soon. Or check out the link in the description.
All right, shall we do this?
Yeah, let's play some D&D!
Woo!
Ow!
I don't know about you, but I feel like everyone had that thing when you were a teenager where you were much more worried about what other people thought of you and the like with the things you did and what you wore and all that. And then you get to a stage in your life, you turn 30 and you're like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, whatever, man. And I was listening to a song today, and it's a song that if my teenage self knew I was listening to it and just like straight up unironically enjoying it, they'd be like, whatever, man, I thought you were cool. I thought you'd be way cooler. And I'd be like, shut up, 14-year-old me. You don't know anything. And also, you have a terrible haircut.
All right. And wow, get her.
I know. She did. She had an awful haircut.
You're talking about yourself, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I like that your premise is, what does my teenage self hate me for? But you've turned it around and you're hating on your teenage self.
You got to get a few blows in before they get theirs back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some animosity there. It's like, she hey, come on.
You got to get a kill, that sucker. I'll kill him before he kills me. Psycho doesn't know what he's dealing with.
Fraught territory is what I'm picking up here.
Incidentally, the song is Lone Star's Amazed. Which is that one where it's like, it's the baby I'm amazed by you, like, which played endlessly in, I think, 1998. Oh, and yeah. It's a country song. It is like a mainstay of like
popular
weddings
slow
and
dance songs. Uh-huh. At my grade 7 and 8 dance. Yeah.
Yes.
And who does that song?
Lone Star.
Oh, yeah,
that time I hated that song. I thought it was the worst thing on the fucking planet. And it was the uncoolest thing ever. And now mid-30s me is like, damn, I love some unironic, like, pure, earnest bullshit like this. It's just, and like, I was reading a thing describing the song, and they described it just like, there's like the dude in the video's got like a black t-shirt tucked into black slacks. It's like the uncoolest thing ever. And I'm just like, fuck yeah, man, let's go. But yeah, I'm always curious to see, like, what's the thing that you've like accepted in your later years that like teenage you would have been like, how dare you, how dare you? Or was I just like a really judgy team and on myself?
I got a screaming hot one coming in.
Hell yeah.
My teenage self was a rabid Christian Jesus freak,
right.
Who was pretty obsessed with Christianity. And I taught Sunday school. I sang in the choir. I was a counselor.
Christianity's cool.
I was a counselor at a Christian summer camp. So I did all of that. And I thought that was always and forever, Jesus being my homeboy, deeply held in my heart. And pretty much immediately after I went away to university, my horizons were significantly broadened in a lot of ways.
As is the way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Learned a little bit about Christianity's terrible history and the ways that it's not helpful around the world.
It
turns out, as soon as you kind of leave your hometown of 4,000 people, new ideas spring to life inside of your brain. And so I was freed from that. But teenage me would really be disappointed in adult me. And I'm okay with that. She was very, very sure of herself for a lot of ways, and very wrong.
You're like, Jesus and I, just acquaintances these days. Like, sometimes we pass on the street and you like awkwardly wave and you're like, ooh.
I broke up with him.
Remember?
Don't lie, he's not there. Don't imply he's real. What about you, Rob?
I don't know that there's stuff. Teenage me would be bored by a lot of the stuff I find really interesting now. Teenage me would not give a shit about all of the like life skill stuff. You know, like cooking is fun and interesting and you can make tasty stuff. And I like to grow plants now. And I think birds are neat. And all of this stuff is just like teenage me gave no shits about. And what, you know, there's still a lot of the other anxieties that are very much the same, but there's a lot of that, like, just like, you know, simple things that are like, oh, I can kind of vibe with this. Now I get the, you know, I can get into this doing something with my hands that's also like small and not for anybody else or something and find it.
I absolutely feel that. I feel like teenagers are so much more obsessed with like, oh, the cool, famous things I'm going to do. And
yeah.
And all the very exciting places I'm going to go. And 35-year-old us is like,
my back hurts.
I found a cool recipe and I'm going to try it 5 times until I do a good version.
Or it was good, but yeah. I think I can get it better. My sourdough starter.
Well, like, I think these first two things are just like things I've learned now. And if I could reach back, I'd say to my former self, right?
No, it's
other
the
way
other
around.
Way. Not, that's what's supposed to be fucking me up. It's what would your teenage self say about you now?
And it's be like, you're into that? Ugh.
Exactly. It's not, because that's how I was thinking. And I got answers for that.
Yeah.
But I'm having a tough time thinking the other way, to be honest. Like, I think past me would be like, oh, cool, man. You got a smoking hot wife. You're doing something that you love. Like, you're being creative. You get to play video games. You're fucking cool. I don't know.
I mean, teenage me would also think like positive things, but also it's all like superficial stuff. It's all like teenage me being like, why do people like Avril Lavigne? She's not punk. Like, and all that stuff.
But
superficial.
I was never like that. I like with music, even as a teen, I was very, like, I liked music, but I was never like, oof. Maybe I'd be disappointed that I watch less movies now.
Oh.
But like, that's a pretty minor.
Well, okay, thing. Actually, here's something sort of ironic that just came up, because I was literally, one of my points was like, you know, An example would be like back in high school. I remember everybody loved Blink 182, and I was like, way more into like heavier punk. And then last week, a friend is like, "Hey, I can't go to the Blink 182 concert. You want to buy my ticket?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay."
How was it?
Like, maybe my past self would be like, "The fuck are you doing going to a Blink 182 concert? You're better than
I bet if teenage you was offered tickets to a Blink 182 concert gratis, they'd take them.
You know what's funny? I don't think they would because shy, like there was the shyness, right? The less confident. And I've learned since I've grown up, like say yes and jump in with 2 feet and see what happens, right? Not think so much about what to do. So maybe my former self would also say, "Man, you like act way quicker than I do."
That's great. I like a teenager looking at you in the future and be like, "Wow, hasty decision."
You're way less responsible than
I think my teenage self would be. I don't know if I'd say disappointed, but like maybe bummed out that I have tattoos.
I was glad you said that because I was gonna say that. You're
say that for
like,
me?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't have been offended if you reminded me. I just forgot.
Well, I just didn't want to put you on the spot. But yeah, you're always like,
"No tattoos, no drugs.
Tattoos are just for people that want to show off."
Pretty straight edge. Are you straight edge? Yeah.
Yeah. But I still
is kind of straight edge.
I still rarely drink and I don't do drugs. So the tattoos were kind of a...
You got to give up smoking though, Harlan. That 10-pack a day habit.
But even Red has a tattoo. So I don't know. I think I came out ahead.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe old me wouldn't have liked tattoos, but Numi's got tattoos and Red's got tattoos. And so does Doran.
And Jack.
And that's Jack.
Mari, you have a tattoo yet?
Yeah, where's my fucking ink?
There's an in-universe Drag King bar. You're going to love it.
Yeah, oh, hell great. Yes.
Let's do it. Let's go. Woo!
The Wicket Gate is within sight when a boulder comes flying out of the sky, missing the chains above you, and crashes directly into the wall beside.
Whoa!
Some soldiers topple from it, and one of them is gravely injured on the ground in front of you. Blood coming from his nose and ears, he reaches out a hand towards your party.
I'll put him out of his misery.
No, don't do that. Mari steps over and she kneels down beside him. And I feel like I don't need to do a medicine check because I'm pretty sure what
Bouldered.
He has is it's big rock.
Is blood supposed to come out of there?
He got smushed.
Oh, gross. Is this sap?
Yeah, his broken body is on the ground in front of you.
Yeah.
Help me.
She takes the staff of healing and very gently presses it against just the edge of his forehead and casts Cure Wounds. I was like, is that going to help or is he too gravely injured? Am I just going to waste it?
No, it's great. You expend one of your precious spell slots.
Yeah, damn it.
But I don't have to. I don't have anything else to do.
Give him a potion. Give him a potion instead. Give him a potion instead.
Do you have a potion?
Yeah, we got potions.
We got posh.
Okay. Well,
might as well.
Okay, then. So back it all up. Never mind. Mari, yeah. Red, no, don't put him out of his misery.
I and cut she, that. No, I'm not going to say that.
You're going to say it.
No.
Help that guy, Mari. Please, I know you don't want to, but help him, Mari. Stop walking away. Mari, come back and be nice.
Peace out, guys. Bye.
Got it.
Perfect. I'll walk out.
I got this potion here. Do you want it?
Yeah, I was good. No,
save that potion.
You're right.
He doesn't want to use
my
one of his
precious
spells.
He's not worth it.
We look at the
You're
body
just a nameless NPC.
Oh, man.
Fine, I'm going to use Shillelagh and crush the rest of his skull.
Good.
No, Mari, don't be such a bad guy. Who would even joke about a thing
Here's
like that?
Here's a good berry. Let's move on.
So Mari, as she's going over, she grabs the bag of holding because she's seen Red throw stuff into it.
What do you know? Yeah.
And she's rooting around inside of it and she's just like throws just a flying by. There's half a chicken, a sandwich, like a live chicken.
That pudding still needs to set.
It's fine still.
It's all sailing by. She grabs, she finds a healing potion tucked in there somewhere. It says like written in crayon, healing potion.
For Red only, it's scrawled on the side, Red's potion.
Yeah.
Red's favorite healing potion.
Ha!
fell for it. That's all those poison berries that I squished together.
Fermenting in there.
A trap.
She's like, I knew I saw you throw something in here. And she goes over and...
help me.
Gently pours, I guess it down his... Like, I guess onto it.
Betwixt his lips?
Yes. Which sounds
it's
very...
so sensual.
What is up his nose? What are you going to say?
Straight his eyes?
Why are you doing it so slowly?
I'm not going to choke him out.
Yeah. Injects it straight into the veins.
Yeah. I'm gonna straight up waterboard this guy with potions.
Mari walks up and gives him a healing potion enema.
Thunk.
This is so insert. Cool. I don't like that.
Why are you dipping your finger in it and rubbing it on his lips? What are you doing? Pour it.
Yikes.
I use the healing potion on him.
He perks up. He stops crying blood. His bones knit back together. Thank you. Thank you so much. And he crawls away.
He crawls away.
No, now you're this. Hey, that healed you. Now you're just showing off. Now you're just faking it. What is this, a soccer game?
It's like when someone gets hurt in soccer. He's like, oh, dang.
I feel like for each one of these things, it's been like, you know, the people that are not involved standing off to the back, to the sidelines, like watching you go down.
Just talking.
Wow, she did really good with that potion.
Look at Mari do this.
All right.
Hope that guy's okay.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I'll take my bag back now. Thank you.
Yeah, here you go.
The south side of town is a little quieter. It seems like the majority of the Stone Giant efforts are focused elsewhere right now. You make your way to the Wicket Gate, a pedestrian entryway beside a larger set of doors which are currently barred. Soldiers on the wall take aim at a distant target with their longbows and let loose a volley, then motion you to go on through.
Quickly now, let's go.
All right.
This is our moment.
Quietly. Let's try to stay below the long grass.
Outside of Slatefell's secure walls, a sense of exposure seeps in. Your dark vision extends only some 60 feet, beyond which you can hear the crashing sounds of boulders and the rumble of giant footsteps. You'll have to be careful to avoid running headlong into a threat. How do you proceed?
Jack, can we cast Lehman's tiny hut and then, like, lift it and carry it as if it were a barrel? I've done that before.
Whoa.
I wish we could, but it's sadly stationary.
Damn it.
Could you cast it on a cart and then roll?
That's a question for the GM, really. Can I?
Could we cast it on the ground, but then use Move Earth to move the earth that the Lehman's tiny hut is on? Because you can move earth.
See, the part that trips us up, I think, is a 10-foot radius immobile dome of force. I think that word does a lot
immobile.
Of heavy lifting there.
Yeah, it does. It certainly does.
Wait a minute. Hold
it's
on.
Not like
hold
stationary.
On. Does that mean if you cast Lehman's tiny hut, as the earth rotates, it moves in the night?
Yeah, you stay
like we as sleep the on earth a cliff travels edge. Through space, does it stay?
Immobile
behind?
Relative to what?
Yeah.
Physics nerds.
Like we camp on a cliff and it like pushes us off the edge of the cliff as the earth slowly moves.
Oh no. It says here in the small print, immobile to the sun. Oh Jesus.
Oh man.
Shit.
Literally we're gonna be in the middle of
you guys
space,
are out in the inky blackness.
Part of it
space.
Is immobile.
Fucking magic never works, right?
Anyway. We'll never know.
How do we want to do this?
Let's just make our way out of here.
I say we just go and be on our lookout.
Just risk it.
And stay quiet. Yeah. Because it sounds to me like we're running away from the battle and they're coming
busy.
Towards us. And unless we're seen.
I guess there's two ways of seeing this. Is it more important to sneak away from where the stone giants are now so that none of them see us and go, wait a minute, and turn around? Or is it more important to sneak in once we get there?
So maybe the other way to look at it is this. We're using our dark vision, for those of us who have it. Stone giants' dark vision, even if it's twice as good as ours, is still within the hundreds of feet. We've got some space to maneuver.
Right.
We're all running in the dark. I know which direction we're going in. I know what the map tells me we need to go. I think I can get us there by dawn if we just sort of follow that lead.
Uh-huh.
So give a wide berth is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. I think...
Yeah, that's smart.
Keep your ears and nose peeled for stuff getting close to us that's just outside our vision. But otherwise, you know, Mari and I got a pretty good description of where we need to go, and we need to sort of trust that and follow it till we can see dawn.
Right. And actually, and Red will drop down to the ground, spend the minute, and make sure there's like...
Yeah.
Okay, Jack, There's lots of giants everywhere, but if we head that direction before heading the direction you need to,
yeah,
there's no giants moving.
Perfect. You take point, and I'll keep check on you when I think we need to get turned in the right direction.
And I'll follow up the rear, and I'm going to keep an ear close to the ground as well. And there was something else I was going to say.
You love us?
Well, of course.
Was it about Levon?
No.
I hope he's okay.
No, it was less important. I only said I was going to say it because I forgot what I was going to say. It'll come back to me.
Okay. And Red skulks off into the darkness, taking point.
Mm-hmm.
Like Robin Hood.
My favorite.
The sounds of battle diminish as the gray light of dawn gradually begins to silhouette the valley, and you travel east, traversing the foothills of the Gray Peaks and crossing shallow rivers, following the directions from the soldier in the bakery.
How do we want to approach this? We know we need to go in, and we know we need to take them down.
The only things we know is we need to find the Thane. And they've got a conch, and we need to get that shell. And outside of that, we're flying in the dark. Other than, as soon as dawn breaks, we should be looking out for stuff flying overhead, because that was a big warning we got from the people of Slatefell. Giant birds.
What do you mean?
We were warned that there are these large birds that sail over the land outside here, and that they come down and they attack people.
What do you mean?
Giant birds that grab and attack people?
Oh my god.
If need be, I can go back to bird form and take a little look around.
By the hammer of Moradin. Gee whiz.
I feel like bird form would be probably more dangerous with giant birds in the sky bird looking for food. But I appreciate the thought. Why didn't you guys tell us this earlier?
Things got kind of hairy.
What else happened yesterday? What else could have happened yesterday that came up?
I'm teasing. It's a joke. You all had your reasons to not tell Dorn and I.
Maybe that's the other reason why they had the big chains over top of the city.
What are they called?
Chains?
Rocks.
What are the birds called? Yeah.
You're not going to believe this, Doran. The birds are called rocks, what? But they fly. And like, I get that might be a leap for you.
Rocks? Can I roll stone cunning?
You're kidding me.
No, they're...
Rocks, yeah.
They're called rocks.
I think it's a mistranslation of a rook.
Rocks? All right, so now it makes more sense.
Okay, so now we need to watch for stone giants and for these flying things called rocks?
Do they work for the giants, or they just happen to be, eating things our size?
I don't know. These giants are certainly more sophisticated than the hill giants we fought at Gredhog. They're
sophisticated, but also racist as all hell.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. I'm just saying maybe more cunning, more shrewd, a little bit less simplistic. I'm a little more worried about their ability to do things like forge alliances with giant hungry birds compared to not. Was what
I wonder if their racism is just bound to other giants and humanoids. Or also extends to things in the sky, too. Who knows? Maybe they're chucking boulders at these guys as they fly by as well.
The other thing we got warned about is barbarians.
Oh.
Yes, those are also out here. But I think somehow that's less surprising. I don't know.
I'm going to guess Uthgard of some variety, just Gesundheit. Given the
fact that you know that name.
This could be it. It may be a thing I've studied a lot, and that's my own bias. I don't know that. We're going to have to see when we get there. I thank you for...
Well, Doran, you grew up in these hills. You must have run into barbarians all the time.
Well, yeah, but, I mean...
And these rocks, actually. Are these common for this area?
No. Well, not from where I am. I'm very far south of here. And I like I said, I've never been up to Deadstone Cleft. I think it might be something to do with...
Didn't you come to Deadstone Cleft with your brothers and lose one in the basement?
Yeah, that was his...
No, it was a different area. But thanks for bringing that up, Jack.
No problem.
All right, so... Giant birds, and then what? So are we just going to walk straight into the stone giant thing?
Well, that's the question. I mean, look, these stone giants can meld with stone, meaning they don't technically need doors, right? So it's possible, as weird as it sounds, that they don't even have an entrance.
Well, they do have some doors described by the scout who saw it. Big, giant-sized doors to get in the mountain. There is some...
More information that we didn't have. Okay, so they have doors. Well, that's good to know.
Is there anything else you guys want to tell us before we continue this conversation?
I'm a stone giant, actually. I've been holding that on for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had this conversation last night.
I didn't mean to keep a secret from you.
I didn't want to say anything, but the xenophobia kind of has come through in many ways.
Hey, now, hold on.
Elves being better and all, you know.
Well, just because they are.
He's half elf, half stone giant.
If they have doors, then we have a way in. I suppose the next biggest obstacle till we get there are the barbarians in the rocks. So... Jack, you're the barbarian expert. Is there anything we should do to avoid them? I don't know.
I mean, it's the we're going to have to wait till we get a glimpse of them to see what we can deduce. I think there's a variety of cultures and ways of being and going about life. We might be able to make a deal. They might be entirely antagonistic.
But hold on a second.
They could be werewolves. Who knows what we're going to come across?
No, wait a minute. I have to ask you something here. If the stone giants are attacking everybody, why wouldn't they be attacking the barbarians as well? I mean, would it make sense for barbarians to even live this close to the stone giant Thane?
Jack starts going through his acronym to go through the different tribes and lands on one or two and says...
Yeah, true.
Like a bed mass thing?
He does have a bed mass thing.
B-B-B-E-G-G-G-R-S-T-T.
Of course.
And he's counting through them and is like, okay, well, some of them might be nihilistic enough to get along with the stone giants. I think there's a few tribes that could probably... get in there. I mean, we've already seen the Sky Pony and the Great Worm and the Grey Wolf just on the outside of things.
That's right.
Jack, if you would like to make a history check, I can give you a little bit more information.
I'd love to. 27, as Jack goes through his acronym on all the different Uthgard tribes he knows.
As you go through your acronym about what you know of Uthgard barbarians, a salient detail sticks out in your mind, and that is the belief that civilization is a blight on the land. This seems to really be in line with the xenophobic nature of the stone giants, and it clicks in your mind that geographically and ideologically, the Blue Bear tribe of Uthgard barbarians would be a great match for this clan of stone giants.
Yeah. It's the third B, the Blue Bear tribe. They're particularly...
Is that the second and third B or just the third?
No, it's just the third B. The second B is the Black Raven and the first B is the Black Lion, followed by Elk, Grey Wolf,
Great
Worm.
What are you talking
worm.
About bees for? Jack's just talking to himself about bees a lot.
I heard blueberries.
No, sorry, the Blue Bear tribe. I think it's the Blue Bear tribe. Based on what they said, bears, blue ones, big cave bears, not to be fucked with.
Finally, animal friendship's going to come in handy.
Mari, whatever the biggest bear you can think of, bigger than that. And that's the totem of these people.
I don't know. I can think of some pretty big bears.
I don't want to get into a test your imagination contest against the Blue Bear tribe when it gets there. That's all I'm saying.
Back in Mazdika, we had green bears.
Whoa!
Gotta say, Jack, it sounds absurd, but I do believe you. 100%.
Okay, so is there anything we need to do to avoid the Blue Bear tribe or the rocks?
My fear is they could be in cahoots. If they both have that same kind of anti-civilization, burn it all down kind of vibe, I could see their worldviews lining up enough that between the savageness of the frontier, the savageness of the stone giants, and the cunning of these blue bears to wreck anything that tries to build, we might be in real trouble here.
So, if you're saying they're in cahoots... why don't we just avoid going to cahoots?
No, Doran. It means they work together. But isn't it possible then that, especially if the stone giant's place has a door, maybe they're even sleeping together? Not in that way.
Maybe in that way.
But
breeding?
In the same vicinity.
Little cahoots? Bears?
Giant stone bears.
I mean, there's two things. There's two pieces here that are interesting. Because it could indicate a vulnerability to the strength of the stone giants if we're able to put a fracture between whatever alliance they may or may not have. If we discover they have one, maybe we can get them fighting each other somehow.
Hey, I like that, the diplomatic angle.
We just gotta learn a little more about them.
I guess we'll know when we see the first giant stone blue bear just how right you are.
As long as we don't run into any rocks first.
Regardless, I'm going to keep my eyes on the skies. I'll be the watcher in the skies for these rocks, both the ones being thrown and the ones that are giant and flying and will pick us up.
Then I'll keep my eyes on the ground and on the land for any signs of barbarians.
Right.
And what are you two doing?
We'll keep our eyes on the prize is what we're going to do. Right, Mari?
Maybe the prize is in cahoots.
Deadstone cleft, cahoots.
You find the wide river and follow it upstream, north and east. The clear, shallow water has smoothed the rocks to flat, round river pebbles, and the sound of it rushing along with gravity is peaceful. As you move into the land carved by the river, the shoulders of a canyon system grow up around you. Fog curls in wisps along the ground, thickening the farther you travel into the canyon. Though the sun is surely above the horizon, the walls of the canyon perpetuate the eerie dawn grayness. And as the walls of the canyon gradually narrow, the foggy shroud changes to moving clouds of billowing mist, and a cold wind passes through the rocks, creating a low whistling moan.
Can I use shape water to sort of like cut down on the opacity of water? Can I use it to cut down on the mist around us?
Possibly. Is that a described...
Yeah, you can change the water's color or opacity.
Hmm.
This change lasts for 1 hour within a 5-foot cube, but I can sort of, I guess if we're moving, I can kind of just keep building out when we need
yeah,
to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be like directly ahead of you.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, Mari, you can use your cantrip.
So I have 30-foot range, so yeah.
It's like you have little headlights, basically.
Yeah, so that
wow.
if they're doing that, then she's sort of trying to keep the space around them so that if there's any sort of like physical obstacles coming up, that at least people can see, and it's not like, here's the edge of another smaller cliff.
Around you in the walls of the canyon, you begin to pick out strange shapes protruding from the rock, statues that resemble stone giant bodies, torsos far above you, and limbs and heads emerging from the stone as if it were once as penetrable as water. The towering faces that you distinguish wear peaceful, watchful expressions.
So Mari picks up a tiny pebble and she's like, I can only do this once. But she takes a small piece of rock and it turns to mud in her hands and sifts to the ground.
You can only do it once?
I have a...
You just did it right now?
Oh,
Mari, why'd you do it now?
Snow.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I was just going to say.
I'm just doing this for demonstration, a tiny pebble.
Guys, but, watch this.
She's like, but if we need it, cool? If we need to take out some sort of stone, or if there's something we need to destroy, or if there's a pile of rocks, or if we need to open a door, I can do it, but I can only do it once.
So you can turn stone to mud?
Yep.
Cool.
Now, can you turn a whole giant to mud?
Bad.
Well, that'd just be a mud giant. That's well, not
bad. They actually have a higher CR than stone giant.
But I mean, then we'd at least be able to, like, you know, wash it away.
So you can turn stone to mud. And Jack, you can move earth. So maybe it's possible between the two of you we could, you know, cut a hole in the wall somewhere.
Yeah, if we really needed to.
Or chop up a giant into little tiny pieces.
Also, you guys have fucking dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
We do have some unstable dynamite. It's true.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So Red sort of crouches on the edge of this giant valley type thing, and he sort of just scans the horizon. Can I do a perception check? That's going to be a...
What do your cat fox eyes perceive?
Thank you for being specific. 18.
Yeah, Red, these giants that are protruding from the rock here, they look very realistic. Probably not sculptures.
Oh, those stone giants up ahead that are made of stone probably aren't made of stone.
Oh.
I don't think they're statues. I think they might be real giants.
Whoa.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Let's just take a second here and watch, see if there's any movements that are coming and going. And Red sort of finds a comfortable tree and sort of pads around a little bit and leans against it.
Yeah.
And sort of gestures for everybody to come over, almost to make like a temporary camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Doran, kind of on his hands and knees, crawls past you. And there's this perfect little like hilltop right there at the edge of the trees where you look down. Into
and Red inches a little past you and just gets a little closer. And he's like, yeah, this is the perfect spot.
And then Doran climbs just a little bit closer, like just an
Red
inch
stops
in front of
no,
Red.
No, it's, I'm, this is me.
I know.
While they're taking a moment, I might take the 10 minutes to create a little white tiny hut to let us blend in and be safe from attacks from above while we scope out the
place. Okay.
And just kind of sit under the tree.
Fine, Doran, you watch. And Red heads back to Mari, and he's like, how you doing, Mari? You seem quiet.
I mean, this is a lot bigger than anything I've ever seen before, and it's huge. It's huge. Everything is big, but I don't know. I guess all we can do is keep moving forward and keep fighting and try not to get crushed by a whole bunch of giant boulders and or be eaten by birds or crushed by a giant, huge bear man who are also blue.
You've been spending too much time with Jack. I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, all those terrible things that he always worries about, that he drops at a hat, that's just because his brain is so full of knowledge.
And also bugs, that one time.
Yeah, that was more of his stomach, and he deserved that a little bit. We call that levity.
It's a bad day.
And Doran's kind of picking something out of his teeth. And he goes, yeah, you think everything's big right now. I mean, try being a dwarf. I grew up, everything's big around me, so, I mean, this is just even bigger.
Look, Mari, just, you know, Jack is smart in the ways he worries, but at the same time, don't let that bog you down, you know? All of those things that are going to be coming for us, we got to be tough.
But yeah, she casts, there's a spell she can use that can check the weather for the next 24 hours just as the winter is starting to settle in.
It's an iPhone app.
Yeah. She pops her phone out and she starts swishing through it. She's playing like a solitaire on it. That's why I've been quiet. I've been texting this whole time.
What the hell is Angry Birds?
It's great. But whatever the weather is, Joe, that's your call. God, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow?
Don't answer her. Yeah. That will end Mari's arc.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You're God. It's
you're
me, Mari.
There? Weather's going to be clear for 24 hours. Sweet. It creates this shimmering blue orb that she then sort of like swishes away. And she sort of pulls her shoulders back and just gives Red a little smile. All right. I trust you guys.
I have no idea what you just did, but cool, I guess. From like Red's perspective, you stood there and like, did something, and then this like blue orb appeared, and then you smiled at him. He's like, cool. What did you just do?
I love Mari.
Did you cast a spell on me? Because you told us meta, but I imagine Mari just being like, okay, and there.
My comfort thing is check the weather.
And then you're like, I trust you guys.
Yeah. It's like, whatever. Did you just send out a tweet?
You know what, Mari? I trust you too.
Yeah. Look, we got to work together. That's how we failed at this thing before. And that's what Doran told you the other night. And I'm sure that rattled you. But
that's right.
I think hubris was a really important lesson there.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to go with the Deadstone Clef name. I was feeling very hubritic.
Yeah, that's why we're the defeaters of the Midnight Carnival. TM.
I'm a little worried. Not because I don't think that any of us are able to handle this. I'm pretty damp, for lack of a better word.
Hey, you're not damp, you're moist. And that's a good thing.
You're gooey.
Moist cake, moist shoes.
Shoes.
But is that really it? You seem like... I mean, look, we're going to tackle any number of things thrown our way, but I don't know, ever since last night, we haven't had much time since the defeating of the Midnight Carnival, but...
She sits up a little bit more. She'd kind of been leaning back, and she's like, part of the reason why I left my hometown is because there was an accident with my two closest friends, and they were out on the water. They were out on a boat, and I was on the shore. And when the weather started getting bad, normally I'd be out there with them, but this time I wasn't. And I tried to help. I tried to use magic to help them. And normally the water is my friend and the water is something that I'm able to work with and something that's good and something that I can use, but it backfired. It backfired completely. And I don't know what happened, but everything that I thought I knew how to do, it just broke in my hands and the water went out of control and it killed them.
Wow.
And now I'm kind of worried that I might have to watch another friend die again. And I'm a little nervous, to put it lightly.
Why did the water go out of control?
because I tried to control it to calm the water down, and I don't know what happened. It's like, normally the magic is there. It's in my hands, and I can feel it, and I can feel it everywhere around me. But it was, it just spiraled out. What I tried to do was outside of my control. It was too strong and too big, and the spell backfired. And all it did was make everything worse, and it destroyed the boat. And there was nothing I could do.
What would have happened if you did nothing?
I don't know.
Well, that's exactly it, Mari. Look, you're beating yourself up for stepping in and trying to control something and feeling like you failed, but you don't know that. For all you know, you gave them a slightly bigger fighting chance. There might have been no chance had you done nothing. We don't know these things. There's no sense in beating yourself up over something that you have no way of knowing. And hell, maybe one day if you do get to find out if there are gods and you can ask them that, you can see if your intervention changed anything. But there's no sense in beating yourself up over something because your intentions were pure. You reached out to try and help, right?
Yeah, that's all I wanted to do.
And sometimes that's all you can do. If you tried with your heart to help, then be damned the consequences. In the end, you know how many times we've tried to help a small town, and sometimes, yes, sometimes it goes sideways. Hell, and Red points to Jack. Jack, with burning passion, taught some hunt lords. Were his intentions pure? Absolutely. But how did that turn out for us?
It was not great.
Doran, he was confronted by the Jalanthar dwarves, and he was asked to sign something, and he tore it up, and...
I mean, come on.
But his intentions are pure. Even me, myself, I tried to protect Doran, even though I was ordered to assassinate him, and then that turned around on us as well.
Look, there you go.
We've all failed, but the important thing is we were trying to do what was right, and you were trying to do what was right.
Yeah.
I feel pretty shitty about what's happened in the past. And there's no escaping it either. But I'll tell you what, if I was in the boat, I would have been glad that at least you tried.
Me too! Could you imagine if our friend just stood there letting the waves crash and sink us? You're trying, and as long as you try with us, as long as you attempt to help and save us if the same situation came up, then we know that you'd be doing the right thing, and that's the best you can do sometimes.
You know that day in the sewers when Jack nearly drowned?
Hmm.
When he hauled you out of the water, I had this horrible moment that this whole thing was happening again, that I would meet up, every time I would meet up with people now, I would just doom them to die in the water. But, you know, he survived, for better or for worse.
I mean, if we wanted a safe and simple life, none of us would be sitting here under this tree, looking over at Dead Stone Cleft and thinking that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know what, Jack? I fucking love you, man.
I love you too, Doran.
And I fucking love you, man. And he points to Red.
I love you too, Doran.
And I fucking love you, man. And he points to Mari.
You know, I just...
And I fucking love you, man. And he points up at the sky.
Mari just awkwardly... Message has been seen. Check mark.
Sorry, Doran. I'm leaving you on Red on this one.
Right. She loves you too, Doran. Don't worry about it. No. I'll leave you on Red.
It's,
I like,
replaced
that.
Rob as a name.
But look, Jack's right. Look, we're here because we want to be here, because we have to be here. And more importantly, there are people back there at Slate Fell dying for us to be here. So, and Red stands up and dusts off his pants. I think it's time we...
Red, as you stand up, you immediately perceive that there is someone walking towards your group.
Oh, never mind, we're dead.
They are still probably 100 feet, maybe more, away. But if you don't act fast, you are going to be seen.
Everybody into the hut! And Red just pushes everyone into the hut.
Yeah, we all sort of tumble in.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone coming.
Oh.
Does this thing block sound as well?
Yeah, it does. Doesn't it?
I'm not asking you.
It's just that things can't get in and spells can't get in.
Okay, everyone shut up! And Red puts his hand over Doran's mouth.
Mm-hmm. As you watch, a human barbarian draped in furs with blue paint on his face walks towards you along the riverbank. And as he gets closer, you see that hanging from his belt are two human heads and one dwarf head that's strung by his beard. His axe is slung across his back. He's got broad shoulders, and he walks confidently towards Deadstone Cleft. And after about a minute, he disappears upstream.
Thorin's face goes furiously red.
I don't know, but he's not friend-shaped.
I'm guessing that was one of the barbarians, and frankly, Jack, they don't look like they want diplomacy.
I don't think I want to wait for that guy to get down the hill. Doran kind of stands up, ready to leave Liamin's tiny hut.
Doran, no! I see that look in your eye. We're in reconnaissance mode. Just watch.
And Red, sort of with a hand on Doran's chest, holding him back a little bit, watches what the guy does. Because we're, and this is true, like, we're in recon mode now.
Yes.
We just need to watch, see what kind of special knock he fucking does.
Doran, yes, like, turns away from him and kind of paces just a few steps in the hut. Not enough to make any noise, but just enough.
And Red
to
will study and watch exactly what this guy does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you watch this man as he walks upriver, and he gets to a place where he might leave your line of view.
It's time. Let's do this.
Are we following him?
Yes.
Let's do it.
All right.
And Red steps out and quietly begins to follow the man.
We're all kind of in tow.
Staying a couple hundred feet behind the barbarian, the four of you move through this canyon, and you come to the end of the ravine. You take in several openings that dot the canyon walls, three distinct cave mouths, one in the west side of the river, into which the barbarian moves, and two on the east side. Overlooking these, a giant bird's nest sits atop a 60-foot-tall promontory. And you hear a low echoing caw come from the top of it. A giant moss-covered log spans the river ahead of you, and the snow underfoot gives way to barren gray rock. Heroes, welcome to Deadstone Cleft.
Once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Cypress Key, Cytosine, DS, Danny, Default Trauma, Dippity, Elizabeth H, Emma, Ghost, Haley, Harper the Marks, Heather Nichols, JD, Joy Robinson, KR, KM, Cade, Kirsten Wolf, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Marie, Melinda Curley, Mills, Melissa, Merlin, Nimble Dingo, Regan, Wren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, Sky, S-Ray 96, Tara Bite, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, and Zach House. Woo!
Bum, bum,
bark, bark, bum, bark, 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 bum, woof, 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 bark, 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 woof.
Very cool.
That's the here we are.
That's it. We did it. We did. Great job. That was easy.
There we are.
You've done it.
Fuck it. Let's take a rest for 2 weeks. We'll
and
get back to
the
it.
The conch is right there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Look
so
at that.
Sorry.
Air in the water?
It's, this guy's just
it's
kicking
underneath
the
body
like
of Piggy. Oh, my God. That's all I had to do.
No, don't.
It's like they have no idea.
Oh. I just use my own weakness against me.
It's like in the water, they don't even realize trauma. It's special. It's like, oh, it's right here under the bridge.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com